Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Sir, I'm going to pray a bold prayer tonight. I pray that whatever you're doing in heaven, whatever you're saying, whatever you're not saying, every wind, every fire, everything you're doing, that it will be manifest in the earth tonight. Everywhere that you want it to be. Touch your people. Minister to them heart to heart. I see a picture of you putting fire into people's hearts, depositing little fires into people's hearts who need it. People who feel like they've gone cold. They love you, but they just can't feel it right now. They haven't lost their love, but they feel cold, like they've grown cold. I see you putting fires, refiring people again. I see you breathing life into the weary, those that got weary in their journey. Breathing life into them again. Breathing energy into those who've been saying, I want to, but I've just grown tired. I see you breathing new life into them. I see somebody sitting by the side of the road that's just saying, I just can't go any further. And I see the Lord coming and sitting beside them. And just having a good heart-to-heart talk. And then getting up and going together. You're not alone in this walk. And if you feel like you're alone, you don't know Jesus very well yet. Because he never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's his promise. Lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the age. Always. I will never forsake you. Never leave you. That's our Jesus. So if you feel alone, your feelings are incorrect. Amen. So expect more tonight. Pull on the Lord. Don't just come and go, gee, I hope I get something. Pull on the Lord and say, I'm not leaving until you bless me. I won't go until you feed my need. I need something. I won't leave your side, Lord, until I understand what you're saying to me. Sometimes you got to place a draw on the Lord. Sometimes you have to believe him for what you need. Don't just sort of sit by and watch other people get it and say, I wish that would happen to me. No, go after him. Chase him down. Don't quit until you have found your breakthrough. Don't quit. Don't quit. Say to the Lord, I will not stop coming until I get my breakthrough. I will not stop praying till I get my breakthrough. I will not stop coming until I understand this thing you're trying to help me understand. Say to the Lord, I will not quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm the one that's not going to go away until you have changed me or done what it is you want to do in me. Be pliable in the hands of the Lord. Be pliable to change anything that he wants changed. Be like warm, soft putty in his hands that he can do anything he wants with. Because if you are hard and you resist him, sometimes you don't receive because of your hardness. Don't resist him. Find out what he wants and change to meet his need. And you'll always be blessed. That's a secret to blessing. So Father, bless your children tonight. Bless them. Anoint them. Set them on the fire of God. Set them on fire with the fires of heaven. In Jesus' name that will never burn out. Amen and amen. Holy is the Lord. Holy is he. The whole earth is full of his glory. I feel like he's saying that sometimes he wants us to learn how to open ourselves and receive the pouring out that he's always doing. You know, sometimes Jesus pours things out, but it bounces off of us because we have a block. You know, I used to just think, why doesn't God, you know, I've prayed, why doesn't he fix this or why doesn't he fix that? I sense there's people in here, you've had some frustrations, not everybody. There's some people in here you've had some, like, why is this still not fixed? Or why has it gone on so long? I've prayed, and I used to feel like that. And I feel like one of the things God taught me is that sometimes without knowing it, we are actually blocking the blessing. You know, sometimes God wants to do things through us instead of for us. And when I used to have a lot of questions of God, he confronted me because even though I was reading the Bible and loved it and had a lot of it memorized, I wasn't clearly understanding what he was trying to say. He was probably saying it clearly, I just wasn't getting it. But he began to challenge me to receive what he has already done. Instead of saying, Lord, won't you do this? Won't you do that? Lord, come and fix this, come and fix that. What he began to show me is that he has already provided for so many of the things that we are currently begging him to do. And once I saw that, I realized that's why he says a lot of it is about faith. Because faith is understanding that he has already died for this to be given to you. So there's many things. The minute you're born again, I'm talking about the second you're born again, there's a transaction in the realm of the spirit. You become a new being. You're not just forgiven of your sins, you are recreated on the inside. So the old you, we're supposed to consider that dead. Reckon the old man dead. Our problem is we don't really understand sometimes how to do that, so we're still living the only way we know how. But because of that, we're struggling and having problems, and it's because we're living out of the old man. We're living the life as we were taught to in the world. And even if you had really good parents, I had pretty good parents. They didn't know the Lord, but they taught me systems and methods of how to survive in the earth realm, how to be a success, how to go to college or, you know, have a career. They taught me all that stuff. But that wasn't victory. No, I got a career, but it didn't teach me how to work in the kingdom, because kingdom rules are different than earth rules because it's a different kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven is so much higher and so much more vast. And if he clearly said, your citizenship is in heaven. So you're from a whole different place. And the problem is, we're going around in our earth suit and we haven't learned how to make the transfer. And I won't say it's this instant push button thing that once somebody preaches and you go, oh yay, I'll do that. You know, it's not that, at least for me, it was not that quick. God had to challenge me and confront me personally because I wasn't seeing it. And I was beginning to question, why isn't this working, you know? And he began to say things to me kind of in a confrontive tone. And I remember one day I was just walking down the hallway in my house and he said, I have a system I laid out in my word and I'm not changing it for you. I thought, oh. Now see, I get that. I was a systems analyst for years. I get systems. I don't know much, but I do know that. A system is a predefined process with a definite outcome. And the rule of a system is if you don't follow the system, you don't get that outcome, okay? And so it taught me that God was saying to me, I have some systems I laid out in my word. If you follow them, you will get the outcome. One of the simplest systems in the word. I have a few I'm thinking of, but one of the simplest ones. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't, you won't. Okay, that's a pretty simple system, right? And so God began to cause me to look at the word of God through the lens of greater logic. See, sometimes we think, you know, I thought God should just help me because I loved him with all my heart. I was praying a lot and I was in hard times and he should have sympathy. You know, I'm going through a tough time here, God. You know? And you know it. God isn't moved by sympathy because that's not the system. It's not. Faith is the system. Well, I didn't like that system. I didn't like it. I wanted him to come and help me anyway. And he kind of, you know, not literally, okay, but he kind of had his arms folded like, now we can, you know, you can wait another some years to figure this out, or we can do it my way. Well, when I learned his way, everything became so easy because his word is true. See, if you don't understand this, you may think, well, I see it written, but why isn't it happened? Because you're not understanding the way that it works. The way that it works is the minute you were born again, that transaction caused you to become, you have a born-again spirit that's a literal person that has access to heaven. With all the purity, you, listen, it says put on the new self, that's your born-again spirit, which was created after the image of his holiness. So now you can't go around questioning your holiness anymore, unless you're talking about the old man who's dead. Well, we know that one stinks. We know that's dead. Stinks, rotten, in your, what did Paul say? In my flesh dwells no good thing. This is a system. And if you're trying to make Christianity work the old way, it won't. So what I was doing, without, in ignorance, was I was trying to make Christianity work the old way. It wasn't working, and Satan was pointing a finger at God saying, see, he's not hearing your prayers. It says right here he's doing this, but he ain't doing it, is he? As though somehow God was at fault. Well, we know there's no truth in the devil. He's the father of lies, right? He invented lying. It's his job to lie to you. But your job is to discern the lie from the truth. And until you do that, listen, the victory comes when you begin to say, I am not going to believe that anymore. I am refusing that package. Devil, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. I'm not going to receive that stuff anymore. When he says you're a screw-up, well, but I have in me a born-again spirit that is holy because Jesus said so. Now, it takes some guts to begin to believe that, but you have to be, if you don't choose to believe the word, you will walk in failure. Not just that scripture, all of them. If you don't choose, you know, there's a lot of faith teachings, but one of the best ones I ever heard was this sentence, faith is an act of your will. You choose to believe. Because we've heard of a gift of faith, and there is a gift of faith. And when it hits you, it's a blaster. But that is different. A gift of faith is when you suddenly go to pray for somebody and suddenly you, this Holy Ghost gift comes on you for that moment and that transaction, and you know, there's no more I believe, I, you know, someone couldn't beat you with a stick to make you think it wasn't going to happen. You absolutely know it. And even if they argue with you, you're like, dude, you're healed. I saw Edgar take a woman who had a bone disease and had terrific pain and shake her like this. Yeah, but he had a gift of faith on him. And when that hit him, he knew they were healed, and they were. Now, here's the fun part. She didn't get healed right away. She went down on the ground, and the fire that sometimes accompany healing, miraculous healing, sometimes there's a fire that goes through the body, and it hurts worse than the original problem. And this fire started going up and down through her body. She was not happy. Edgar goes on his way. He knows she's healed because he knows a gift of faith. When a gift of faith goes through you, you've had them, John, haven't you? Yeah. When it hits you, like, you know, done deal. That's the gift of faith. So I'll just finish that story. He continues to pray. Pretty soon he hears a ruckus, and this lady is dancing all over the room because she's been healed because the fire went through her. But he already knew it. He knew it before it happened because there was a gift there. There's also faith standing in the word. That's good too. But what God confronted me with is to begin to choose to believe what didn't seem like it could be possible if I was looking in the natural. Because who is truer, him or the earth? Him. I'll give you the answer, him. Who is truer, his word or your doubts and fears? His word. It's always true. You know that God cannot lie? The Bible says he can't, cannot, physically. He has never uttered a lie. There was no such thing as a lie until Satan showed up. He was the father of it. So when God says something in his word, you can choose, say, I don't care what it looks like. Here it is. Now, why is that important? Why does God make that his system? I used to find this very annoying. I thought he should just do it. We're good friends. We've known each other a while. I pray a lot. What's the deal? You just do it. He's like, no. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know why? Because what I was doing was kind of whining that he should do it and hadn't done it. I wasn't really out loud whining, but my heart was whining. And you know what that is? It's calling God a liar. It is. To say, well, he said he's going to do it, but he hasn't done it, is to call God a liar. What God is saying is this. God wants to shift your perspective. And some of you may have heard this. Some of you in here are old hands at this and probably know more than I do, okay? But there's a lot of people in here who have lack of understanding about what's going on between earth and heaven. You have to remember your citizenship is in heaven. All the levers and buttons and controls are in heaven. The way to make things happen in earth is heavenly. And if you're walking around like a mere mortal, you won't get things to work. Things won't work because the answers aren't here, they're there. This is how Jesus did what he did. He said, Jesus said, talking about himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. What a crazy thing to say. What do you mean you're the Son of God? What do you mean you can't do anything by yourself? What are you talking about? I thought it was just a whim. You said, well, I'll just make mud and put it on this guy's eyes and he'll see. It's just a whim. No. I can do nothing of myself, he was saying, but, he said, I do what I see my Father in heaven doing. He was watching heaven to see how to do what he did. He was watching heaven. Heaven was saying, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. He was teaching us how to be led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God, because you will manifest those same works that he manifested when you get it from God. You were never intended to live the Christian walk in an earthly way. You were not intended to. That wasn't the plan. In fact, before the fall, Adam was, before he blew it, they were spiritual beings. They had bodies, but they were spiritual beings. Think about it. They walked with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. When that got blown, they had to be banished from the garden. And a cherubim with flaming sword had to guard the way, right, to keep him out, because God didn't want him in eternity in that condition. He knew he had to redeem something before they could be allowed eternity. God did us a big favor there, because we'd have been stuck forever in that wretched condition. Jesus came to purchase back for us what Adam had. That spiritual being that we had lost utterly, all of us, all of Adam's children had lost that, couldn't get it back. Nobody could get it back. Jesus died and purchased it for those who would just believe. So instead of the sins being every sin you've ever committed, it became the sin of those who do not believe are condemned already. That's the sin. The sin that will keep you out of heaven is those that did not believe in the Son of Man, Son of God. They're condemned already. The disciples said to him, what must we do to work the works of God? Imagine, what must we do to work the works of God? The answer, believe in him whom God has sent. Believe, that's the big work. That's it. Don't I have to be perfect? Yes, it's a good thing to strive for holiness. It's a good thing to be changed. I love being changed more and more and seeking the Lord to become more and more like him. I love that. But that is never what causes my victory. What causes my victory is he purchased it for me out of his righteousness, not mine. His righteousness is always righteous. His perfection is always perfect. His blood is 100%. You don't heal the sick because of your goodness or you had a good day. God would use me on my worst day to heal somebody. I would think, how can you use me? He'd say, you still don't get it. I don't heal people based on your righteousness. You don't have any. I heal people through you based on my righteousness, which is 100% every day for the rest of your life. And when you get that, you can go to being used to God. When you get it ain't about you. You see how self-focused we are? And that's a religious spirit, by the way. You did this and you did that. Well, let's talk about the cross. Yeah. Let's stop talking about my goods and bads. Let's talk about what he has done instead of what we have done. And so the day that you got born again, you entered a completely new realm, but you just don't know it because you can't feel it and you don't see it. So you have to see it through the Word. The Word is a window to heaven. The Scriptures are windows. One Scripture can set you free. It's a window to the kingdom of God. It shows you what God is really doing. You will have to tell your feelings, shut up, sit down, you don't get an opinion. Your feelings will lie to you. And if you're a person that's really given yourself over to your feelings, Satan knows that. And he'll tweak you and goad you, and your life will be miserable. You have to, at some point, I will never forget, this was huge for me. It was very hard for me to get this. I'm sorry to say, I wish I would have been smarter about it, but it took me a long time, and God had to get in my face. And I was really failing. You know, I was having some failures in my life and wondering, what is the deal? And the funny thing was, God and I were close. It's not like we were far apart. We were very close. He was like, we were friends. I was friends with God. He was my friend. We had a lot of conversations. I knew he loved me. It's not like I didn't know that. And yet, I was seeing failure because I didn't get this. When you were born again, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When that happened, every single thing that Jesus died for you to have became yours at that moment. Now, when did it happen? 2,000 years ago. So you can't say to God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? It did. You say, well, where is it? Every spiritual blessing has been given to us in heavenly places. Has been given to us, past tense, has been. Let me say it this way. When was your salvation purchased? And did he not say that he died for the sins of the whole world? So he purchased for every person that will ever live, the rottenest axe murderer on death row, he purchased salvation for them if they would truly turn their heart. Truly. Not that fake thing that some people do. Not that, oh, I'll say the words, you know, maybe I'll escape the fire, you know. Not the fake thing, but the real heart thing. If somebody's heart, I don't care who they are or how bad they are, they say, God, I'm so sorry. When I said it, you know, I was alone in my bedroom. I was 15 years old. I said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I didn't know who you were. I really didn't get it. Please forgive me of my sins and be Lord of my life. When I said that, there was a transaction. When you said that, there was a transaction. Your name gets written. You are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and all of his assets are transferred to your account, believe it or not. That's what the Bible talks about. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. I used to think, well, where is it? You know? And God began to teach me the concept that it is already in existence. It is already mine. It already has my name on it, but it is my problem to pull it through faith. It is my job, not his. He has already done his part. So I know some of you know this. Some of my older friends know this story. But guess what? You're going to hear it again. Does anybody know about the staging area?
Yeah.
Okay. I used to work in a corporate office, and our office was over a giant warehouse, huge. And one day my boss said, hey, anybody want to do the warehouse tour? I said, me, I want to. And we went downstairs, this massive warehouse. I mean, it's huge. I mean, the ceilings were high, and there was these just stacks of bins, and they had these big forklifts and huge items and all kinds of stuff. And one of the jobs that people had was when a ticket came in for stuff to be picked, there was a bunch of people that would go pick all the stuff, and they'd bring it all to this one place called the staging area. The staging area was a big concrete area with yellow lines that were shaped like semis. Right? They're shaped like a whole bunch of semis in a row. They were not semis, but they looked like semis. And they would bring all this stuff, and they would load the pretend semi with the stuff. Their job was done. They didn't load the truck. They didn't bring it to the customer. They brought it to the staging area and they left. Then other people would come with a truck and they would receive the stuff from the staging area, which had already been bought, paid for, and delivered to the staging area. In heaven, Jesus has purchased for you and me not just salvation, healing, deliverance, essentially everything we will ever need. If you study it out, you'll see every human need was already bought and paid for. It's up to us to receive it. So let me ask you this. He died for the sins of the whole world, but will the whole world get saved? No. No. I was teaching this one time and I took these pieces of paper and I said, okay, I died so you could be born again, and I dropped it. I died so you could be filled with Spirit. Jesus died. Died so you could receive the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and on these papers went. Only a few would pick up the born again. A few more would say, well, I'll take the Holy Ghost, but those are, I don't want that. But could they? Yeah, because he released the Holy Ghost to those who were born again. Would everyone receive their healing? Edgar and I preached at a church one time where they loved prophecy. They wanted to all stand around and prophesy to each other, but they couldn't stand healing, didn't want anything to do with it. Don't talk to us. They hated our guts. We liked healing. They didn't like us. Let us know they didn't like us. But you see, they could have had healing. Can you imagine people being in a church sick? Edgar was in a place, I wasn't there this time, but a person that had been bound to a wheelchair all their life got healed miraculously, and the person on the front row said, we don't believe in that stuff. Just saw. Okay, so even seeing it with your eyes is not enough, because you refuse the goodness of God. You are refusing it. Do you understand that by our belief system, sometimes we refuse the goodness of God? My people perish for lack of knowledge. It is a lack of understanding that causes us to fail. It is, some of us were raised in churchy environments where we may have been taught systems that weren't exactly the Word of God. Question, I'm not saying, disrespect your church. We love the church, right? And some of my really good friends are church leaders. But what I do want to say is question what you were taught. I had good parents, but I remember the day when God began to challenge me that some of the things I was told were good and I believed were good and I had patterned my life, God said, not so good. Not so good. And I had to reconfigure my thinking. I'm telling you, that's where the action is. If we can reconfigure our thinking, what's the biblical term? Be not conformed or poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you change your mind to think how heaven thinks, you can work how heaven works, and then you release heaven into your life. The battle is not as hard as it seems. It's a thinking issue. It's a thinking issue. It can be an emotional issue if your emotions are running you, right? I saw when during praise and worship, I was seeing people who were just tired. And I understand. Personally, I understand. I went through some years where I was going through all the motions. You do what's right because it's right. You remain faithful because it's the right thing to do. You know, and you're like, this, you're just doing, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And nobody really knows, but inside you're just like pooped, right? Because life has beat you up this way and beat you up that way, and you just want to lay down. But you know that's not right, so you just keep going. But the refreshing of the Lord, but part of that is because you're not walking in enough truth. When you know the truth makes you free. But it's not the truth you know here. I know one man saw a picture of American Christians and they had these great big heads and these itty-bitty bodies. And the interpretation was they had all this head knowledge, but their spirits were starving. Because they'd listen to sermon after sermon, they could repeat it back, they could even preach the same sermon. But it's got to come here. It's got to become who you are. The scripture It's powerful, but it's only powerful when it becomes what you do, how you think, who you are. Jesus talked about the two men who built a house, one on rock and one on sand. And he didn't differentiate, you know, two types of people. He didn't differentiate the storms, the wind, the floods came. He differentiated, did you do what my word said to do? He said, if you hear my words and you go and you don't do them. And I think sometimes we do that and don't know it. You know, sometimes we just kind of, amen, amen, God, come and fix this. Hey, hallelujah, come and fix this. But can I say that in some way Jesus is saying, I did. Come and work with me on this. See, whether you know it or not, God really is your closest friend. The Holy Spirit is your closest confidant. And he was sent by Jesus. He is a virtual image of Jesus Christ. He's Jesus in spirit form is who he is. He's Jesus in the earth is who he is, right? Until the release of the Holy Spirit, there was one Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit, and he did what he did by that method. If you wanted to know what he was saying, you had to go find him. What is Jesus saying? Remember in the Old Testament when the king sent all, when Josiah, he sent all his people to go find hold of the prophetess? Even the high priest, why couldn't the priest hear? Why couldn't the king hear? Why couldn't the secretary hear? Why'd they have to go to some old lady? No, really. Because in the Old Testament, this wasn't given. You, if you're here and you're born again, you have access to something the Old Testament prophets longed to look into. They longed to understand it. They were prophesying about it, but the Bible says they longed to look into it, understand it. Kings longed to understand it. You have access to it, and you may have it. It's called the Holy Ghost. But if you don't understand him, how can you walk through life? See, Jesus, okay, no, this is review. The Father's in heaven. He's sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. Jesus is seated at his right hand. Who's here? The Holy Spirit. He's Jesus in you. Jesus with you 24/7. Assigned to be your mentor, your teacher, your closest friend, your guide. To help you understand. We couldn't understand the scriptures. I couldn't. I have to go to the Holy Ghost and say, yeah, I don't really get that. You know? I could study and maybe get some head knowledge, but you know what I found out? That's not that big a help. What's a big help is when he'll say like one sentence and I go, oh, I know what to do. There's great theologians and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for scholars. I've taken some classes from some real scholars, Hebrew scholars. It's awesome. But I'm going to tell you something. I value more a practical application of what do I do today. Tell me something simple that I can do today to walk in victory. I mean, I'm glad for all the historical thubity-bob. I'm glad for that. And I'm glad you all know that. Glad you're smart. Thank you for speaking Hebrew and explaining it to me. But I want to know, what can I do today to walk in victory? How do I win? How do I defeat the enemy? How do I walk in health? How do I serve God properly? How do I make him happy? How do I do something? Think about this. How do I do something that would make his crown more glorious? Do you ever pray that? Lord, I'm nobody, but could you let me do something in my life that would beautify your crown? Could you let me just polish a gem or some little, could you let me do something that would bring you glory? Some little something. What are we here for? To glorify ourselves? Meh, that's a bore. You know, you can do it for a while. My dad worked his way up to be CEO of his corporation. At the end of it, he said to me, you know what, if you really work hard, you know what they give you? And my dad was a brilliant, brilliant guy and a hard worker. He had great success. He said, you know what they give you? More work. And I thought, I was so shocked because my dad loved his. He was almost a workaholic. He loved his work. At the age of 53, my dad quit his job out in the middle of nothing, left, and bought a farm, went back to home. Like, he grew up on a farm, went back home. You know what he was saying? He had done all the stuff, gained all the success, had everything that they said would make him happy, and he was miserable. Now, he did not do it knowing Jesus. He found Jesus later. Thank you, Lord. But what I'm saying to you is, you can chase your whole life after the stuff that the world tells you will make you happy. Well, if you build these muscles, or if you look like that, or blah, 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 you have the doodle-doodle house, or the car, you know. You go to one part of the city and they jack the car up. You go to the other part of the city and they jack it down because that's cooler. Come on. You know, you go to the gym and if I look like then I'll have value. No, no, you're searching for your value from men. And even if you get it, even if you win the prize, you know what, if it lasts for about an hour. That felt good for about an hour. But it isn't fulfilling. And you know why? Because only God, because you were created to be part of the bride. It's a romantic relationship. It's a marriage. And in that marriage, listen, let me just spell it out. You were created to receive from him something that ruminates. It grows in you, whether you're a male or female, if you're part of the bride and part of him. When you're with him, something gets put in you that's like a seed. That's why Paul compared it to a man and wife. He was being diplomatic. But the point is, Jesus puts something in you that is a seed that you carry and you nurture and you pray over it and you water it and it grows and it gives birth to something that is a work of the Spirit or heaven on earth. The problem we have is people don't do the process. They want to do it outside of God. People say, well, I want to be used of God. And God says, good, come and spend time with me. And they go, well, that's great. Okay, amen. But tell me what I'm supposed to do. Well, come and spend time with me. Because you ain't going to do that until you do this. You cannot get pregnant. Mary is the only one. You cannot birth something from God into the earth without spending time with a Savior. I'm trying to be plain. You have to have time with him. You have to receive from him. And I don't mean 20 minutes. It's a lifetime. It's a lifestyle of attending to the Savior. And some of you are like, oh, that sounds like an awful lot of work. Well, it's not work, but it is a lifetime commitment. But there is, honestly, there is no fulfillment outside it. And when you find your place in him, there's nothing but fulfillment. And it doesn't matter what the storms are doing. You don't really care. Because you're in him. And in him is the joy and the fulfillment, contentment, being satisfied. Are you fulfilled? Are you deeply satisfied? Because there's a place in God that he wants to bring you into. It's called your place in God. Everyone's place is different. Do you know the Bible says we are being built together into a temple? Do you know that we are not cut stones? God didn't like cut stones, did he? No, he liked them all rough and bumpy. But do you know that if you, God told me something one time, he said, if you keep bumping your head, you're in the wrong part of the temple. You know why? Because I had grand plans. And I kept bumping my head because it wasn't God's plan, but I didn't, you know, I was young, I didn't know. Those cut stones are perfect, those stones, I shouldn't say cut, they're so perfect that there's an exact place that they fit in the Spirit. I'm talking about in the Spirit. And when you're in the spot you're supposed to be in, you feel good. And you're surrounded by the people who were meant to fit near you. Yeah. It's a place in the Spirit. Boy, that's good. You have a place in the Spirit. You have a place in heaven. Okay, I know you've heard me talk about your chair in heaven. The Bible says you're seated in heavenly places. But most people don't have a comprehension of that because you've been so earthbound. And I'm not condemning you, right? The only way you're going to learn this is by hanging out with him and have your face in the Word and ask the Holy Ghost, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And pray a lot, right? Okay? But you have a chair in heaven from where you are supposed to rule and reign. And if you do that properly and faithfully for a while, you find promotion in the Spirit. Okay? Some of you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. You did a certain job and maybe it was kind of menial and it wasn't great, but you did it because God's good, right? And then God promotes you and you go, oh, we're doing this now. And you're faithful in that for a while. You just be faithful, just be faithful. And pretty soon God promotes you again. You're, oh, wow, we're doing this now. And if you keep serving God with a right heart, and I'm not talking about being a perfect person, but you will grow to be more and more, well, you'll grow to have less and less junk. Because the more time you spend with him, the more you are changed in his presence. It's in his presence that you're changed. It's in his presence that the habits fall away. It's in his presence, in his word. He's the only one that can free you. If you're trying to be good for God, forget it. Your flesh doesn't have the capability, and mine doesn't either. You'll find failure, disappointment. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so awful. And then maybe if you muster up the faith to believe the word that says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just. Oh, God, I blew it again. And there's this never-ending cycle of beating yourself up and never. See, that, I'm telling you, is the plan of the enemy. It's a trap. Jesus calls you into the freedom. Here's freedom. The devil comes to me and says, you screwed up. And you're right. I screwed up. You're right. But I have a Savior whose blood has recreated me. And in me, there's a born-again spirit that works by the Holy Spirit of God. I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing, and I got nothing to brag about. And if anybody ever does anything right through me, it's Jesus only. And we all know it, okay? And so if Satan comes, throw it in his face. Why is he so intent on making you feel bad about yourself? Why does he work so hard at making you feel guilty and condemned? What is his deal? Because he knows that if you feel that way, you will not go into the Holy of Holies because you will think God doesn't want you there. And God is wanting you there because that's where you're changed. God is beckoning you to come in and fellowship with your issues, with your addiction, with your problem. It doesn't mean you want to stay that way. It means you come and you say, I have tried to fix this, Father. I don't even have the ability to fix it, but you do. And I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep coming, and I'm not going away. I'm going to be the bug that bugs you. I'm not going to quit bugging you until you set me free. And God himself, actually, it'll just fall off one day. It just falls off. You don't even know how it happened, and it happened. And you're changed, and now in that area, you're a new person. But without, thank you very much, the condemnation and guilt and beating oneself up. And some people in here, not looking at anybody, have had a spirit of self-hatred, self-abuse, right? That thing is a devil. It is the precise opposite of what God has for you. If you could see God's heart, if you could see his heart as a father, he loves you with an everlasting love. And where he wants you is in his arms. Because in his arms, he will teach you. He will explain to you. He'll help you see. Listen, don't wait till you go to heaven to have him explain to you. You didn't have to live like that. You didn't have to live in guilt and condemnation and beating yourself up and feeling like you didn't have to do that. Don't wait. Find out now. Sounds like a commercial. Don't wait. But really, I don't want to wait till I'm in heaven and have him say, oh, if you'd only known the truth. If you would have only known that I was willing to make the exchange, that I died to change places with you so that I could live for you through you and you could come and live in heaven in the Spirit. That's the great exchange. We don't deserve any of it, but he did it all. But when we continue to try to be good enough and then condemn ourselves because we're not, we have taken on a religious role, and in effect, we've made ourselves God and we've put ourselves as an idol. It'll never work. And it doesn't make God love you less. It just makes you walk in failure. And with all his heart, God wants us to come to a place where we will learn how to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I might say at the feet of the Holy Spirit, with the word of God saying, teach me how this works. Why do I have this problem? Why did I react like that? What's up with that? Why did that make me mad? What's going on here? I don't let him go until he heals me. I want healed. I want to look like Jesus. I don't look like him yet, but I want to. What did King David say? When I awake in your likeness. then I'll be satisfied. Right? Instead of the whole beat yourself up and stay out routine. That's a forever routine. You'll never get healed that way. It's a wretched, wretched life. I used to do it. It's terrible. God wants you in his presence and with him. And he wants to teach you in such simple ways. You know, I love the Lord. When he teaches, you know, I'm very simple. And he'll say something like you would say to a three-year-old child. And I go, oh, okay, I get it. Thanks. Now I get what to do. And that's how he teaches us in such simple terms that we can say, oh, I can do that. I get that. And now in that area, we're free. It's a relationship. God wants us to dump the whole performance cycle failure thing and go in, running in like little children. Daddy, 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 daddy. And learn how to trust him. Trust him that he loves you. He loves you like no human has ever loved you. Some of you have a hard time trusting God and believing he loves you because humans didn't love you. Humans can be kind of creepy. I'm just being honest. There's cruelty in the world that is sometimes too hard to even hear about, the things people live through. But don't ever judge God by that. He's nothing like anybody you know. He loves you so much. He loves you. If you were the only person, he would have gone to the cross for you, because that's how valuable you are. That's how valuable you are. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants you close to him and in him, and he wants to teach you those simple things that will cause you to have victory. It's okay to go to God and say, I don't get it. You know, stop trying to have it together when you go to God. If you don't drop the mask anywhere else, drop it with God, like he knows the real you. We need to go before God and just be honest. Man, I don't know why I can't get this to work. I don't know why I'm trying everything I know. I've done all the stuff they said to do. I prayed, I fasted, blah, 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 blah. But it's better to even go before that and say, what's the key here? What is the key to this? You know, you don't have to go through all that, hitting your head on walls for 2 years and then say, oh, God, show me what to do. You can say it before there's a trial. You can say it before there's frustration. And if you get in the habit, if you develop, you have to redevelop yourself. You have to redevelop the way you think, the way you do a relationship with him. But if you can train yourself to go to him first and say, what are you trying to show me? If you have trial, if you're sitting here and you have a trial or a frustration or something that's not budging, stop doing the beg God, you know, march, 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 you know. I'm trying to be kind, but I used to pray at a church where there was a lady who prayed in a minor third for years, you know. In case you don't know what that is, I'm like, stop with the minor third. Sometimes we think if we talk real loud, then God will hear us. Hallelujah. He's not deaf. We try all this stuff because we heard God teachings that probably have some truth to them. But what's better is going to God honestly from the heart and saying, you know, could you help me understand this? You say, well, I don't hear from God. You don't need to hear from God. He will find a way to show you. I had a relationship with God for some years before I heard his voice, where he still told me stuff, but he told me through his word, or he told me through some other means, but he would always quicken it. The conversations took a little longer than they do now. But if you develop the relationship, you'll get where it's what you do. God wants us to trade in performance and religion and methods for relationship, okay? He wants to be the closest friend you have, your greatest confidant, and he wants you to come so close to him that you're his confidant, okay? Where he can tell you what's in his heart, what's bothering him, things you can't tell other people, okay? He will let you carry certain burdens for him in the spirit. It's an honor and a privilege. He will let you carry certain situations in prayer and can't tell anybody. It's an honor. You want to grow so close to him that you can hear a pin drop in heaven. And listen, what he died for all to have. Stop excluding, oh, that's for other people, not for me. That is a demon from hell lying to you. what he died, that is actually calling God unjust and a respecter of persons. And I used to believe that way. Well, you know, it's great for you to say. You're called and chosen. You got the anointing, and here's us. There's us and them. That is a life from the pit. What he did for all. And so, I don't know what to call it, not the playing field, but the area of heaven is wide open for whosoever will press in, whosoever will pray their way in, whosoever will be the one that says, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to press in till I find you. Then I'm going to press in till I get you in me. I'm going to press you in till we become one. I'm going to press in till I open my mouth and you talk. I'm going to press in until your presence shows up. Be one of those. Don't be like, well, I don't know why he doesn't do it for me. Well, that's why he doesn't do it for you. That's why. I'm telling you why. Be one of those people that will not be left out. Only reason God talks to me is I bug him so much. I'm not going away. You might as well tell me, right? In fun. God loves you much more than you might realize. And God would like to take your life and make something of it that is joyful and blessed. Give you, you have abilities in you that are unique to you. And as you spend time with him, he will unlock those. They're already in you. They're already in you. But he will unlock those as you spend time with him. Because it's to his glory. Amen. Okay, hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.